So I have a scripture that is sort of my guiding scripture, and especially every fall I think of it because of stewardship. But this scripture has changed my life, and I hope it will change others too. So it's Luke 6:38, and it says this. Of course, there's many translations, but this is the CEB translation. Give and it will be given to you, a good portion, packed down, firmly shaken, and overflowing will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return.
Good morning. Welcome to Mindful Leader. This is episode number 15. I am Dennis Shaw, and I am a retired elder in the Mountain Sky Conference of the United Methodist Church. Mindful Leader is a relatively new, about 6 months old, podcast where I talk to lay people and clergy about what it is to be a leader in the church. My ultimate hope, my ultimate goal, is for these conversations to help both lay and clergy leaders in local churches with little tidbits within the conversation that they may hear and say, yes, I can do that. I like that idea. My guest today is a second-time visitor. That's the Reverend Annie Arnoldy. Annie is the Superintendent for Connectional Ministry and Vitality at the Mountain Sky Conference. Annie has previously been a guest on this podcast, and we got to a place in that particular podcast where we had sort of run out of time, and we wanted to come back and talk a little bit about another topic that was on her mind. We will talk about dreaming and visioning. This podcast is scheduled to be released on December the 4th, and my plan is to try to release podcasts on the 1st and 3rd Mondays of any month. And for those months that have a 5th Monday in it, and January will, I will do some kind of special podcast that will be based upon the time, and I may come back and do a summary. I may have a current event that goes on, and we'll just have to sort of see what happens. So without further ado, why don't we just take a brief break, and then I will come back in a moment with Annie Arnoldy, and we will be talking about visioning and dreaming. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast. Peace be with you. Welcome you back to Mindful Leader. As I indicated before the break, my guest today is Annie Arnoldy. She wears multiple hats at the Mountain Sky Conference, but we talked to her about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, somewhere in that region, and we left things sort of agreeing that we were going to come back to the topic of dreaming. And to me, dreaming might include a little bit of visioning. We'll see how this goes. But we agreed we were going to come back to that. And so here we are. Annie, welcome to Mindful Leader. Thank you for having said yes.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis. Good to see you again. And great to talk to you. I'm glad that we get to kind of come full circle and see where we go next.
When I was doing the recording with Zach Bechtolt, I told him that when people got to do 5 of these shows, I would have to owe them something, some kind of swag. And I wasn't sure it was going to be a shirt or a coffee cup or whatever, but you're now at number 2. Zach is at number 2. So you two are now the leaders towards getting swag at some point
Excellent.
In time.
I love swag.
But we sort of left off, and our conversation is a lot about Mountain Sky, about the churches in Mountain Sky. And if there are people listening who are not part of the Mountain Sky Conference United Methodist Church, my guess is you've got similar issues. So what do you see as we need to focus on with dreaming a little bit around reference around Mountain Sky, or perhaps other conferences as well? Where would you start with that?
Oh, I'd love to just talk for a little bit and see where Absolutely. This goes. I feel like this fall has been filled with me trying to understand the landscape now, and having picked up the responsibility for the vitality area of the conference in July, this is sort of my on-ramp into realizing where we are and who we are now. Mm-hmm. And so I'll say, you know, one starting comment, I'm in the midst of a course right now on change leadership through John Cotter, Cotter Inc. And it's instructor led.
I'm a huge John Cotter fan.
He's just fabulous.
Huge. Yeah.
If people should go check out the website, Cotter Inc. They just have lots of tools and resources. And I find they translate well to the church. They have a whole section for nonprofits. Yeah. So in this instructor-led course, there's others. So I'm in it with about 9 others. And when most of them are in the for-profit business sector. So when I say I'm in the church world, I sort of get a deer in the headlights. And then, but when I say I'm in this because we have a vision and we can innovate and revitalize. And I always have to sort of like make a little joke about it, because everyone knows, I think it's widespread knowledge, whether you're Christian or not, that churches, mainline denominations and churches are on the decline.
Right.
So it feels like just something that has to be named, but I think it's sort of the underdog. We have these opportunities now, but it's really important to know where we are. So mm-hmm. I thought maybe I'll just give a few of the stats as I've done a little snapshot of our conference in kind of coming up with vitality stuff.
Please, yeah.
So we are, the Mountain Sky Conference covers 460,000 square miles. We cover a full 4 states plus 1 church in Salmon, Idaho. Our states are Wyoming, Utah, Montana, and Colorado. We have right around 318 churches now after 44 disaffiliations in 2022 and 2023. We also had a few church closures, and each year we tend to see a few church closures.
Sure.
We now have 6 geographic districts. In our annual conference 2023, we reduced our number of geographic districts by 1. So we're at 6 geographic districts. Right now, we have 27 vitality projects that have been funded over the last 10 years. These are from the records that I have passed down to me. Mm-hmm. And then 10 ministry partners currently receiving funding in our states, the larger funding, so minus the sort of very small grants.
Minus 500 here, 1,000 there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of where we stand. And then there's a couple of trends I've noticed that seem good to point out. Trends are happening where digital worship is remaining high. So in the COVID pandemic, that was the number one thing churches worked on, was getting themselves a digital footprint. That mm-hmm. impact seems like it is remaining. And so paying attention to the digital footprint is really going to be important for churches going forward in mm-hmm. whatever ways. So whether it's having a Facebook account, maybe you live stream your worship, you connect with people in some way digitally.
Yeah. Well, Ken Brown, on his podcast that I did with him back about maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, he made the point that he has people that are worshiping with him in Denver Trinity that have never set foot in Denver Trinity.
It's true. Absolutely.
They all because of the change in the digital footprint, how people, yeah. how they broadcast, how they get their message out.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. The other trend we're seeing that will really be a focus for us going forward is revitalization is a key for so many churches. And we don't want any churches to feel like they're failing. There are many good reasons why churches are in the stage of needing to revitalize right now. And one of the reasons is because so many churches have very large church buildings, and they are trying to figure out, how do we resource ourselves to maintain this large church building? And is it time to think about whether having this large of a building is right for us or not?
Yeah.
And this is something our chair of trustees, Al Strauss, talks about a lot, that mm-hmm. this is a reality that we will face now and generations after us will thank us for having faced it now.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a story in just a little bit about one church who has decided to do something about it. And they are finding a whole bunch of renewed energy through their community engagement using their building. So that'll be my example in a little bit.
Okay.
So, and I think that the third thing I would just say is one of our learnings is to really consider how do we root through our districts, knowing our district identities, growing into those is very important to connect with each other, to see what the needs are. And that as we envision being part of our communities, how can churches think about growing small to grow big? So what are those micro touches in the community that sometimes we call fresh expressions? We're kind of delving into what this means, but what are those ways we can engage that start to knit this tighter fabric in each community?
Okay. All under the rubric of where we are.
Yes. This is where we are.
To me, dreaming is a process. And maybe vision is an endpoint within that process. I'm not sure I'm doing exactly the right thing to the two issues. But what are you dreaming as you go through this? Or how, or perhaps if not what you're dreaming or how you're dreaming, but what is your process to this dreaming? Do you have how do you go about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I feel like it's my job every day and actually a joy to consider how will I root myself in not getting distracted by the challenges or getting distraught over what we don't have, but how do I keep myself rooted in how God asks us to dream? So I have a scripture that is sort of my guiding scripture, and especially every fall, I think of it because of stewardship, but this scripture has changed my life and I hope it will change others too. So it's Luke 6:38. And it says this, of course, there's many translations, but this is the CEB translation. Give and it will be given to you, a good portion, packed down, firmly shaken and overflowing will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return.
My wife and I wrestled with stewardship for ourselves about 30 years ago, and the stewardship chair at St. Andrew United Methodist Church in Annandale, Virginia, visited us, and his comment to us was sort of start small, but keep growing it. And we've gotten to a place of where it's just changed our whole mentality about giving.
I just want to encourage people, the mindset, it's this growth mindset. Yeah. And same for me. I told my very first church I served, I'm going to start at giving 3% of what I have every year, and I'm going to grow to 10%. And I didn't even need to do 1% a year. I was able to start skipping the 5% and 6%. And, you know, by the time before I had left, I was at 10% and Eric and I together after we got married, and we've never gone back, and our life has been enriched for that discipline.
The joy we get from doing that is just incredible. It's beyond words.
It really is. It allows this freedom, and talk about dreaming. It allows this freedom to dream because it's no longer about scarcity. It really is about just the abundance in what we do have. And it doesn't even have to come down to 10%, but it's the mindset of I can give something at all times.
You're 100% correct. And I know it's there's people out there that don't particularly like Dave Ramsey all the time. I mean, I can be hot and cold on Dave Ramsey myself, but I would say to you that at the end of the day, his main focus of the fact that if you can get to a place where then you can help others do things that you believe in, it'll take on a different meaning for you. It'll take on a different meaning. And that's sort of where Meryl and I have gotten to at our place in life. And he's exactly correct.
Yep. Well, we've almost followed, I can't even remember where we picked this up, but often Eric will bring us back to this point of saying, we need to give until it hurts. And the truth of that is we can all give off the top and feel just fine about ourselves. But when we give sacrificially, and that's what this tithe kind of represents. 10% is a good portion. And that is where it's saying, I'm going to let go of some of the control.
Do you have any examples of churches that you think are examples of stories that you think are living out this this Luke 6:38 story for it?
Yeah, I do. I would love to tell this story. I've been doing visits to all of our planters this fall. So anyone starting a church, also churches who are innovating, who might become planters because of the things they're seeing. So here's a story about one of our churches in Lakewood, and this is Lakewood UMC. Just visited with them yesterday and took a tour of their building and everything they're doing. And so I met with Ben David Hensley, their pastor, and Lori, who
Ben's a musician.
Exactly. Actually, they made this joke that they are a church led by musicians and artists, which is fabulous. They're doing wonderful things and they're connecting with their arts district. They're using this as their strength. So they now have a full-time staff person who gets to do community engagement to really build these partnerships. And her name's Lori. So here's what I saw. I mean, this was awesome. They have one of those old, enormous church buildings. And they found, so the first thing they found was a very large room that I can't even remember was once used for this or that, was no longer being used. They connected with the school district and found the school district needed to house their weekend feeding program, simply the supplies for Jeffco Eats. And they started a partnership. So this huge room, size of a small warehouse, is now holding all of this food. Jeffco Eats already has their volunteers, but they have this great partnership that the church is able to be a place to make this program happen. So that's the first thing they did. They then asked the congregation, how do we want to partner? How do we want to give our space so that we can see all of these gifts overflowing? And the congregation responded and said, we'd like to be involved in arts, somehow supporting folks experiencing homelessness or houselessness, including food insecurity, and youth and young people. So
in effect, Ben or whoever was doing this was asking them, what's your self-identity? What's your vision for yourself?
Exactly. So they went to the congregation to ask them where they feel passionate, who they want to connect to. And there were a million directions to go in, but they let the congregation kind of lead that. So now the congregation feels strongly about these things. And now Lori and Ben can run with it and others who are passionate about this. So they've taken about 4 or 5 smaller rooms in the church and created artist studios. So they're now partnering with several artist studios and they're part of the West Colfax Arts District. So they sponsor then the nonprofit that is the West Colfax Arts District, which makes this all part of their mission. And I've heard the fear that churches are saying, well, we're afraid to rent out space in our building because of tax laws and because we might lose this or that or have to pay. And the approach that Lakewood is taking is, we are missionally engaged, and that's what the Department of Local Affairs says you need to be, missionally engaged. It has to match your mission. And then you do at times need to secure a specialist, whether that's a lawyer or somebody else, to help you know where your specifics are. But once you have your template, you can go forward.
Yeah. We sometimes let, and this is a Colorado terminology, but my guess is that Wyoming and Georgia and Maine have the same kinds of issues, but we had the Department of Local Affairs sort of is in charge of whether or not you continue to be a tax-free entity in Colorado, and it's got this little concern back in your mind of, if I'm doing this, am I going to lose my tax-free status? And
yeah,
and exactly. It sometimes what it leads to is we don't do things because out of fear or we're going to lose that status. And I've always considered that a little awkward, but I think you can do it wisely. As you said, find somebody who knows what they're talking about here in this and help engage them as well.
Yep. So, yep. And then they become one of your partners.
They do. They are.
So then the next piece of this, they had a room that was the size big enough for a dance studio. And they started connecting with all of their neighbors in the Latinx Hispanic communities mm-hmm. with these beautiful dance companies.
So now it comes back to the arts.
So now they have after school programs, they have the dance companies, the artist studios, and then they culminated with having their parlor, or basically the place where they do fellowship. They're working on, they've actually just turned it into a gallery, an art gallery space, but that's where they do coffee hour. It's embedded now into the life of their church. Yeah. And they can now invite artists in, people with new books coming out to do book readings and book signings. They're finding more and more partnerships through what they feel passionate about that's already in their neighborhood.
Wow.
That's really great.
Yeah, and I think one of the key things you said in their neighborhood. I mean, so there are a lot of churches that actually are commuter churches. They're in the middle of a neighborhood, but nobody in the neighborhood goes to that church. People drive in 2, 3, 4 miles to get to that church because it's the church their grandma went to or their parents helped found. And it sounds like to me that they're connecting with the people right outside their door.
They are. They really are. And I'll tell you the one other awesome piece is they are utilizing this enormous parking lot that they have, and they've started a community garden at one end. And in this way, they're addressing homelessness and houselessness and food insecurity because they have some around the edges that are for the good of the other nonprofits in their area that do distribute food. So they're able to donate local produce. And then some on the interior are farmed by gardeners, and people can sign up for these plots. And the majority are houseless neighbors who now have a garden plot, and they have a little locker to store their gardening tools. And these connections are constant throughout the summer or the growing season.
Yeah.
And they're partnering in these productive ways that are enriching their community.
Wow. Do you have other examples? You mentioned that
yeah.
one. You told me before we started, you had a couple of examples.
I know I do. Okay. So here's a couple more that I've really loved. I visited just last week, The Land. This is a church that was actually started. This is sort of guesstimate, but 8 years ago. And started with a donation of a piece of land that's sort of out by the Denver International Airport, not quite mm-hmm. that far, but in that direction. That land around there had not been built on yet, but now these neighborhoods are building closer and closer to this parcel of about 8-9 acres. And the whole mission of the land is to preserve the prairie and really engage in eco-spirituality, eco-justice, and find, you know, how that really reconnects us and how that is part of our spirituality. So this is a ministry that COVID hit really hard. I mean, they met year round, but the seasonality of just winter sort of mm-hmm. almost makes it a little seasonal. But then COVID just, it kept people away for so long that it was hard to keep the momentum. But there is this core group of people who are just wonderful. I mean, we were out there it was 25 degrees on Saturday morning when I was out there with them. They have a heater, these beautiful permanent tents in the summer and growing season, this gorgeous garden. And there is so much potential in what can happen there. So my hope is they're going to come back to vitality because there's no reason why we shouldn't continue partnering with them, because COVID set them back. So they're ready to revision. And I can see partnerships with Iliff School of Theology, who's deeply engaged with eco-justice. I can see partnerships with their neighbors, these new housing communities, in giving a word of welcome. They could leave notes with dried flowers on the doorstep or dried herbs, just to say, we would love to connect with you. And places for being outdoors and engaging, especially if you're raising children and you want them to be engaged in nature and cycles of nature, you don't want to have to drive that far. And this place is right in their backyards.
Yeah.
So I have total faith in the vision that this community is replanting for themselves.
Mm-hmm. You have another one?
I do. I have one more. I mean, there's a million, but these are the ones I visited recently. And this is from Belong. This is one of the churches that we started again about 8 years ago.
It belongs in Elijah Church. It Elijah died. It was what was it? St. Paul's United Methodist.
Yep, is that
what
it was.
St. Paul's, and it died and closed for a little while, and then somebody showed up and picked up the mantle and ran with it.
It really, and it's one block from the state capitol. I mean, this is the center of the city. And this is a community that formed around wanting to be a neighborhood church, wanting mm-hmm. to really meet the needs of its neighbors. Well, some of us just went and visited there, and we took this tour where Pastor Jasper Peters took us one block in one direction, and you're at Colfax. And there regularly, I mean, you see generally the issues that the city has. I mean, you see a lot of what we might call the problems, but then there are people reaching out to say, how do we solve these problems? How do we create neighborhood out of this, out of these needs? And then we walk the other one block on the other side of the church, and you hit Uptown, which is a very upscale and historic part of Denver. And it looks nothing the same. And this is within three blocks.
Yeah. You see one element of urban decay, and mm-hmm. then three blocks later, you see urban renewal.
Yep. This is a group of people who, again, like you said, drive in from all over the place to say, we feel called to the ministry and mission of this place. And we're trying right now, they're revisioning as well. COVID hit them hard. I mean, like everyone. So they've said, we're going to do some intentional revisioning and give ourselves some options. And I think that's one of the things about visioning, giving mm-hmm. options to say, okay, we could do any of these. Let's try this first. It doesn't mean we can't come back and try something else next.
Yeah.
So they're just dreaming about what does it mean to be a people group? And how does our building play into that or not? Do we feel very tied to our building, or do we feel like we're a people group who wants some hubs, but wants to continue growing out in the community?
Well, one time on your way to your five interviews, so you get your coffee cup and your shirt, you and I are going to have to maybe jointly talk to the lady who's the pastor at Los Angeles First, because my understanding, when they recruited her to come there out of Alabama, they told her that there is no building called Los Angeles First, and they meet in parking lots and they move around Los Angeles is how they meet. So we'll have to come back to that, because that's, you're talking about bold. Wow.
Yes.
How bold was that?
So bold. I mean, incredibly.
But coming back to these three, and I'm not asking you to give a white paper on this or anything, but do you see any commonality to these three of perhaps approach or process as to how they went about doing this Lakewood land Belong, how they went about this? Was there a commonality to process, or?
Yeah, I'd say for all of them, the seed has been the people group. So it's the congregation, or who you want to call as your people group, that involving that group and asking them what means the most to you, you know, and to process what have been our highs and lows, and to say, what is our vision? How is God calling us? I think that has been the same in each of these groups, and that they've taken the chance to reconcile, to say, let's pause so that our past doesn't have to define us. And so that the things we've recently lived through that have been very difficult don't have to continue, but we're going to pause to say, to remember who we are and to invite God in. How do we connect to the future with God as a faithful people? And from there, they're going forward bravely.
That process sounds like it's dreaming about a different future. It's dreaming about something different than what you're currently experiencing.
Yeah, it is. And it's with the belief and the full faith that these are communities that want to give, that want to reach out to their community. They want to create real partnerships. They want to be of service. And that's where this Luke 6:38 comes back. They are giving. And I do believe the good portion packed down, firmly shaken and overflowing will fall into your lap. That this is the kind of dreaming that produces that fruit.
The bishop, when she was with us in September, pointed out to a book, and I forgot the author's name, but the title of the book is The Four Pivots. And one of the things that he talks in there about is, where do you want to be? Write down, where do you want to be in 10 years? What do you want to look like in 10 years? And then, and the beauty of how that allows you to then get started on what you think those things are that you need, because then you're sort of building against those kinds of things. So,
Yep. I think every person and every church should ask themselves that. What could we look like in 10 years? What could that future vision look like?
But we as clergy, you and I as clergy, we're sort of passing through. We may be there 6, 8, 10 years, but that church is not our ultimate. We're still members of the conference. That church is not our ultimate destination. Whereas the laity that's there, they're the ones that are the continuity. And so I think the issue is, how do we? It's a twofold issue. We have to teach the laity how to cast a vision, but at the same time, you and I, we have to sort of teach the clergy of how to listen to those visions and ask the right questions of how to have helped them analyzing where are they on that journey? How are they doing on that?
Yep. I completely agree. When we were just dreaming about this before we started recording, saying the clergy are the sojourners and the shepherds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How can we see ourselves as that? And as those who are partnering alongside, but empowering the laity at every turn.
Marty Zimmerman told me one time, she said, Dennis, your most important task is leadership development. Your most important task is leadership development. And I went it was like an epiphany. It was like a light came on in my head. And I tried to, the rest of the time I was in ministry, sort of live that out, of trying to make sure that not only was I focused on developing the current leadership of the, let's say hypothetically, the finance committee, but I was also trying to make sure that I was working with someone who was a candidate to replace that person at some point in time. So I was developing sort of two leaders for this, one that was already there and one that was going to move into it eventually. I didn't always succeed in that, but that was sort of my semi-goal. But it was leadership development of trying to help people become better leaders and what it was that how they felt called. And the other thing I tried to stay away from was of saying, this is what you need to do. I tried to, what animates you? What sets you on fire?
Yeah. So I was thinking of how can our actions move us forward? Because we can get stuck in visioning and not get to action. And I think the actions are what move us into the vision. So in thinking of what are these churches doing that have had hard challenges, are facing them, and are now visioning forward, the action is having that kind of reconciling conversation over mm-hmm. what has occurred so that it can be shared, talked about, processed, and even grieved. And then who are we now? And how can we invite God? How can we come into what God is already doing? Where is the Spirit moving? How can we join in that Spirit? And then making some steps, assigning some leadership teams, taking some steps forward to really say, this is going to be new and probably different.
And scary.
Yeah, and probably scary. And we can do this.
Yeah. Sometimes the element of defining who you are also includes the other side of that, which is defining who you are not. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes going back to what you were talking about with Lakewood there, it sounds like one of the elements that they've done up there at Lakewood is they're not trying to be all things to all people. They what I hear you saying is they have developed some idea of who they are in 2023, and that maybe is not who they were in 2003 or 1993, and it may not be who they're going to be in 2033, but it's who they are now.
Exactly. I think that capturing that is so important of who we are.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I love it. Well, so I have one more thing to share.
Please,
just as
please.
We're thinking of what's the vision for the Mountain Sky Conference? You know, how do we as a conference capture a vision that will move us forward? And so the answer for me right now, if we're thinking of who are we right now and who are we called to be, we have the gift of this Lilly Endowment grant that will start in 2024 and go for 5 years. And it's called the Compelling Preaching Initiative. And the Mountain Sky Conference has been awarded this grant. And the sort of action plan that I wrote for this is around preaching cohorts. And the idea is 10 people. We are opening this to laity and clergy. This is not clergy only. This is saying it's the work of the people, laity and clergy. If anybody's ever been called in their life to consider preaching or even communicating more effectively with people, this is something that they should consider doing. So there will be cohorts of 10 people, primarily geographically based, just for ease of meeting. The first meeting will be in person, and then they will get to do 5 Zoom calls. So a 6-month total cohort, 10 people with 2 peer leaders. So the whole model is peer led. And it's to experience new forms of what preaching means. So it doesn't even mean anybody will write that 15-minute sermon that has 3 points. They might want to start with that, but you're going to learn, how do you talk to people in coffee shops? How do you do it completely digitally? How would you engage, you know, in 3 different slides? If you were to ask people, scroll my slides, how do you make the same point?
Yeah.
All of these ways of preaching now. We're going to have cool speakers. We're going to have lots of resources. And this is something we get to do every year for 5 years. And we're hoping to connect. People can do this in level 1. They can come back the next year and do level 2. And then those who are interested can become the level 3 leaders. Those are going to be the peer coaches for each group. So we have room for everybody to go through this at least twice over this 5-year period. And so that's almost 600 spots for people to engage in this. I'm so excited about it.
And if you would be so kind as to send me a link, do you have a link on the website that do you have it up and ready yet?
Nope, we're not quite ready. We're sort of in development of that, but it will be ready sort of in those couple first months of the new year. And we're planning these in-person starts to be in those summer months, because we know for us in the Mountain West, we have to watch the weather. So between May and October are probably when all these launches will be each year. And then the groups will go into their Zoom cohorts after that.
So the key thing on this one is pay attention to the news out of the conference as to that, and stay connected with your district superintendent, who will also keep you informed of what's going on. Yeah. I like to sometimes, when we talk about things like this, say, look in the show notes and there'll be a link there, but we're not there yet on this.
Yep. That'll be in conversations 3 through 5 at some point.
Okay. All right. Somewhere out there. Annie, wow. I mean, you and I sat down here, weren't sure we were going to make a recording today, and lo and behold, we decided we were going to make one. This has been great.
Yeah.
Is there anything I didn't ask or I didn't mention that I should have mentioned for you?
No, I think it's just such a good continuing conversation to talk about where are we now and how do we vision forward.
Okay. Everybody, I hope you had a good time listening to us today on Mindful Leader. And for those of you that might have got there by a click off of a Facebook page or an X, formerly known as Twitter, or somebody forward it to you, you can also put it on your application that does podcast. I personally use Overcast, but this podcast is available on the Apple iTunes podcast. But if you have trouble finding it, send me a note at Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, at Mantuan, mantuan.org. Someday I'll have to explain to you what the Mantuan means and why it's there, but or you can read it somewhere. But for today, just say thank you very much and having listened. Annie, thank you very much, and peace truly be with you.
Thanks, Dennis. Also with you, I have often wondered that story, so we will have to explore what your email address is all about.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Dennis.